about a show that we've actually seen personally. This week's episode, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams, produced by Triad Stage and directed by Preston Lane. Very nice.
I like that theme music. You are a damn good composer, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Drew.
You can check out Jeremy Pell's other work on Fladoodlebacher.
My YouTube channel.
Let's plug Jeremy real quick. Fladoodlebacher.
I need to make new music and new videos, so don't watch yet. Or do and see the old stuff and get ready for the new stuff.
There's covers there of stuff you'll know, new stuff. It's all fun stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Good stuff.
So, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Holy shit, what a good production.
Wow.
And now we have to tag this one as explicit too.
Well, whatever.
Well, that was great. All right, so Cat on a Hot Tin Roof is playing over at Triad Stage, which is on Elm Street in Greensboro, North Carolina. And it's great. A lot of people from the theater department at UNCG have gone to see it. And if you haven't seen it yet, do it.
It closes on the 20th.
So got about what, a week?
You have another week to
exactly
go see it,
week,
and you
actually,
are
yeah, as of this recording.
And if you haven't seen it, you are missing out.
You're missing out. And all right, so let's talk a little bit of the plot.
You can't talk too much because some people haven't
seen it.
That's true. Can't spoil it.
But Tennessee Williams, he's an American playwright.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the great
American
playwrights. He's famous for, I know him for Streetcar Named Desire.
Yep.
Yeah, Glass Menagerie is probably.
He's amazing. But he stated this play is absolutely his favorite.
Yeah.
And it all takes place over the course of one evening, and it follows pretty much three main characters for the most part.
Yeah,
Big Daddy Brick and Maggie. So it's set on this plantation in the South in Mississippi, I think it is.
Yes,
in the Delta.
One room, it mostly centers around Brick, who's like the alcoholic sort of like.
Mm-hmm.
He should be the favored son,
prodigy.
Yeah,
he's gone through some stuff, and now he's broken his leg, and he's. You would expect somebody who's gone through some serious stuff, who's now turned to the alcohol, to be leaning on his wife or his family.
And
he's done neither.
And basically the whole show is Brick dealing with his own stuff, and then most of the conflicts elsewhere is everyone trying to get something out of Brick. Or at least most of the people trying to get something out of Brick, and the people who aren't trying to get something out of Brick are trying to get something out of the people trying to get something out of Brick.
Which is probably why he's been so closed off. It's because he just doesn't want people to be clawing at him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're now at Big Daddy, who owns this plantation. They're at his house for his birthday.
Brick's father,
and he's the youngest son of Big Daddy. Big Daddy's his big plantation owner, built it from nothing, and now he's got like 28,000 square acres or something like that of land.
Now Big Daddy, I'm not gonna say what it is, but Big Daddy is
he ain't the best.
He's not doing too well right now, and he might be nearing death.
So there's a lot of conflict over who's going to come into money over the course, and that's basically where all the conflict starts.
We
won't go into like who wants what or whatever, but
I think we can leave the plot there.
Yeah.
You can read it or go see it. Preferably go see it. It's amazing.
Is it public domain? I think it's public domain.
It might be.
I think you could probably find a lot of
Tennessee Williams stuff is public domain.
Can you find the script online?
Yeah, I found the script online.
In a second.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm awesome. I know.
Go you, Drew.
But, I mean, what we want to talk more about on this show
is
the production itself.
Yeah.
And big ups. I got to give big ups to Preston Lane. He was the director.
Woo!
He's the main director. Thank you. Good job. He's, I think, the main director.
That wasn't for you. That was for Preston.
No, but you went along with the big ups. You were like, woo.
Oh, yeah.
So, good job.
Look at us bouncing off of
each other. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Preston Lane is the in-house director for Triad Stage. He's directed a lot of their shows, but, I mean,
he's the artistic director.
You really see his vision come through on this show. I mean, oh, God.
I gotta say, though, this show, I believe, was a little cursed for a bit there. Two nights they had problems back to back. The night that we went to see it, all three of us, they had sound difficulties.
In that there was no sound.
There was no sound.
Like,
they couldn't get the soundboard to work.
It was just the actors and then maybe a phone ringing once.
Yeah, that's true. Now, they were supposed to have like a fireworks queue, I believe.
Supposed to be fireworks, shower.
Right. And they gave us an opportunity to get refunded or go to see the show at another date, but we stuck around and we got better seats for it.
And it was still fantastic.
Still amazing.
Because like, yes, the sound is a huge part of the storytelling, but it goes to show just how absolutely just connected these actors.
They were very invested in their action.
It looked like a very tiring show.
So let's talk about then at least the three leads who I think deserve the most love. Mm-hmm. First of all, Maggie the cat is one of your three leads, played by, and I'm gonna butcher her name, Christina DeChicco. I believe that's how
she
you
was so it. Persistent.
She was most recently. Eva Perón in Evita on Broadway.
Someone with quite the resume. Chris Morris told me the reason that she's here is she's trying to depart from just getting musicals all the time. Mm-hmm. She's trying to really delve into the classics and your straight plays, and we are so grateful for it because
what a performance!
I don't think I've seen anything that good on that stage.
I mean, the first act
like Crimes of the Heart was. Really good as well.
Was that
I don't know.
Preston Lane? Was that Preston Lane as well?
You know, I don't know if he directed it.
I think so.
And if it was you, Preston, we're sorry.
Yeah, but
it was fantastic either way.
I mean, that first act is pretty much a monologue because it's her in this bedroom with Brick, and Brick is, you know, just mostly focused on his drink, and he'll
they're married.
Yeah, I mean, he's maybe giving her a line, so she pretty much monologues this entire hour first act.
It's so great.
What a beast.
And when you have an entire giant section of a show that's just two people, especially when one of them is just talking the whole time, it is a testament to the writing that keeps it so that
it was
both
still,
characters are still trying to get something.
And it was still entertaining.
And the actors who are really trying to get it.
Yeah.
That it kept us invested. Never felt like, wow, this is great, but it's taken a while.
It was because the thing that she was trying to get with him, the thing that she was trying to get from him was so dire and so unattainable.
It was so life or death. And he's just, because it's just all these people just want something from him, and he's just so disconnected from all of them on purpose. He's just building a wall in between them, and just every once in a while, he'll add another layer. Because he just has ceased to give
and
a shit.
And Brick is played by Patrick Ball, who is actually a UNCG grad. Whoop, whoop! UNCG represents.
See? UNCG will get you places.
And he is so good at just slowly peeling away these layers of who he is and what's really wrong with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough.
And you get to see him shirtless.
You do, and he's a pretty man.
So pretty.
He's a pretty man.
He's an attractive man. What a jawline.
Yeah. And then
Billy, everyone in the show is
very
pretty people.
Yeah, very pretty people.
But but the thing is, it literally says multiple times in the script how pretty this character is, so you can't, I probably couldn't play Brick.
Well, you know.
Oh, Adrian, you're no, you still can.
Well, your cheekbones could cut deli meats,
here's
man.
The thing. I was committed to telling that joke.
Did you just relate him to deli meat?
No, my cheekbones could cut deli meat. I'm like that slicer thing at Jimmy John's. I was committed to telling that joke, but then I realized if I said anyone besides myself, that'd be super mean, and I couldn't think of anyone off the top of my head who was just immediately just physically ugly. I could maybe say Donald Trump, but that's
Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr could not play Brick.
Who's Roseanne? I mean, she's female. That would be interesting, a female Brick.
I would
Brick.
Be into a female Brick.
Especially since they're shirtless the whole time, so that would defy some things.
Yeah. Anyway, the other big lead to talk about is Big Daddy.
Big Daddy! Oh, I love this.
Who we met after the show,
his
which
name,
was so cool.
Yeah,
his name is John O'Cray, I believe is how you pronounce that name.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for butchering it.
He's
got some New York credits
as well. He was Winston Churchill.
In Churchill.
That was the
off-Broadway,
right?
Off-Broadway.
New World Stages, which is where Heather's the Musical was. It's where Avenue Q is right now. Great set of theaters. They also have a bubble show there for some reason.
You know, why not? But, I mean, he is... he gave a beastie performance because a lot of his lines are repetition.
Yeah.
Really, they are. So you're never bored when he's on stage.
Yeah,
never, ever.
He has such a presence.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
booming. He's a large man.
And he's a character that's used to being listened to, but that doesn't mean he's not. He no longer puts emphasis on being interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He still has something to say.
Yeah. And then, funny story, they said we met him. We actually went to Harris Teeter after the show, still ranting and raving about it. And Adrian and Jeremy both left. They walk out and they're waiting for me. I'm there tired. I'm like, I'm going to buy Monster or whatever. And I'm just sliding it through the self-checkout. And I look over and I'm like, why does he look so familiar? I don't know why. So I pay attention to that. I look back. And I see he's looked over to put money in the machine. I was like, oh my God, that's Big Daddy. Oh my God. So I was like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, I just came from watching you, and oh my God, you're amazing. Thank you so much for a very honest and amazing performance. He's like, well, thank you. That's a good way to hear end the night. I walk back to Adrian and Jeremy, and they're like, why the hell were you talking to that guy?
What's going on?
God, dude, that's Big Daddy.
We were like, what?
What? Oh my God! And they like tore past me. It was like almost Looney Tunes-esque, and like they went by me so fast, you would think I spun like Bugs Bunny. And he's a gem of a man. He was amazing.
We had to congratulate him and thank him. Mm-hmm.
I think every performance was fantastic.
Yeah.
I forget the actress's name, the one who played May?
Played May. Catherine McLeod.
Yeah, Catherine McLeod. That character is absolutely despicable, and I wanted to punch Catherine McLeod repeatedly in the face, which means she was doing her job splendidly.
Yeah.
Because she absolutely was, again, it's all about acting is just all about trying to get what you want. As purely and as just trying to get stuff, because theater is conflict, and conflict is about people wanting different things.
Yeah.
And what she wanted conflicted with what I wanted the character to have.
Yeah.
And she wanted it, and her tactics were just so awful to, you know, characters that you are rooting for. She was just the perfect sort of villain, I guess. I mean, she wasn't just
she's an antagonist.
She's not the straight up villain. Antagonist, but
her husband,
the villain is sort of like within Brick.
Well,
himself.
In reality, everyone is pretty shitty for the most part in this show. There's not really good people. Because even the children you don't like.
But it's May's children.
May and her husband Gooper. Gooper is the older.
Gooper, what a name for like a dopey pinheaded man.
They have five kids who they are referred to as the no-neck
monsters.
That's something that Maggie comes up with.
And even they, like, you don't like. Even they, you don't really like. I do want to throw a shout out, because there are a lot of UNCG people involved with this show. You talked about Christine Morris. She is she's a teacher here, and she was the vocal coach running
through
the accent.
Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Go to community sing.
And I also didn't know this. Denise Gabriel was the movement coach.
Yep. Wow.
Shout out to Denise. That's awesome, I think.
I love you too, Denise. Go to meditation.
And then,
I always go to neither of those things, so I should probably step up my game.
And then Jim Wren is the fight choreographer.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, Jim Wren.
Oh, I did hear that
one. Is he directing Almost Maine? Yes.
No. That's Jim Fisher.
Jim Fisher, yeah.
Okay,
Jim Wren's not directing this.
Is he not?
Next semester he's doing She Kills Monsters, I think. Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, shout out to Jim Wren. The fight choreography was really good. All of those things you can tell like were
especially Maggie's movement stuff.
Yeah,
give major props to both the actress and Denise for that.
Mm-hmm. And the accents. I talked to Chris. I have one of Chris's classes, and she talked about that in class. And she was like, when I got in there, I didn't want to make them all generically Southern. They all had to be Southern, but from different places. So you know, this person's from Mississippi. This person's from Alabama. This person's from Georgia. And it shows. It's
like,
amazing.
Maggie, her voice is different than like Big Family and Brick, Big Daddy and Brick, and just so it's like, a lot of the show kind of depicts her as like the outsider of the group. So to have that sort of be there was just a great way to help tell the story. Like really, a play is just all the best. I think plays are the best way to tell stories.
Yeah.
Like movies are great, they're convenient because you can see the finished product whenever you want, but plays are the best way to tell stories.
And the last thing, the very last thing I want to talk about, because I know we're a little pressed for time, I really want to talk about the set.
Now it did not look like a plantation whatsoever, and we don't want to give too much about it away. But it did not look like a Southern plantation at all.
It is a three-sided stage. Is that a thrust?
Yeah.
It's a thrust stage. It's surrounded on three sides.
Like y'all know the Pearl at Triad. I think that's what it's called.
Or if you're a UNCG student,
Brown.
The Brown Theater is like it's set up in a similar way. But I mean, it's all like steel and iron, and I don't want to give too much away. But I mean, the set designer whose name is Josephath Reynoso.
Like when I read his name in the playbill thing, I could have sworn I'd heard that name.
You can't
before,
say you
but...
can you actually you know it by law. You're not allowed to say that name without swirling a glass of wine.
Reynoso. Yes, I think I shall design a set.
I can't find any Broadway stuff. Let's see. He did Of Mice and Men, Three Penny Opera.
Is this
4,000
miles? New York?
It says regional.
Regional. Okay, so probably here.
So I guess so. But I mean,
he outdid himself. It was great, great stuff.
Multi-layered. It was a lot of glass and steel.
Looked like a cage almost.
It did look like a cage.
Which I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, because for the entire first act, once again, it's just Maggie and Brick mm-hmm. chasing after each other while she's trying to chase after. Well, he kind of chases after her a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, but
like every once in a while, something will happen, and he'll explode a little bit.
Yeah,
and which is and he was great because it's such a chill character.
It's a very subtle performance.
A very slow tempo rhythm type character. Mm-hmm. But then there are certain things that are very important to him, and you will find them. And if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
And if you haven't, you better.
Go see the show if you have time. All right, so that was our first ever sort of bonus episode of Upstaging on the Town. All right, Jeremy, play us out.
All right, guys.